Welcome, everyone, to episode 16 of The Bon Bon Show. Today is January 11th, 2026. And on this show, we're going to stand on the roofs and shout our raison d'être for applying for the JET program, so many years ago. And in doing so, hopefully help those out there who will eventually work on their own statement of purpose and all of the application forms when applying for the JET program.
Hello, Aaron. Hello, listeners. This is Kirk. Welcome to today's episode of The Bon Bon Show. Don't tell anyone that this episode should have been recorded at the end of November, but life was happening for both of us. So, what is it? 3 months later? We're just happy recording.
You're saying it's not October still? What?
No, it's January the 11th.
Oh, right. I said that earlier.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're just happy to be back. Both of us, we're just so happy to be back recording another episode of The Bon Bon Show. So I guess we should be saying Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Have a great 2026. And yeah, let's talk about the JET program application, especially the statement of purpose.
Yes, that statement of purpose, I would say, is probably, I think when we were talking about it, when we were putting our notes together, we said, yeah, that's definitely the key piece that we wanted to make mention of today, I think, and our reasons for doing so, where I'd say the application stuff is, you know, just follow it as it's rolled out to you, as it's, you know, depending on which country you're from. We were going through this in Jamaica. In Canada, definitely have some overlap in terms of some of the forms, and some of the forms are a little bit different. So we won't get in all the details of every country because that would take so much time. But one of the main things that, one of the main things that overlapped was, of course, the statement of purpose that everyone has to do. And so the application forms, you know, in your applicable country, just make sure you follow everything to a T.
Yes, that's the very Japanese way. Yeah, don't make up anything. Follow what they say. Follow the instructions. Just even if some of it doesn't make any sense, just do what they say. Yeah, continue, Aaron.
Yeah, it's like the whole application process is a test in and of itself of how well you follow instructions and directions. And yeah, like Kirk said, like, yeah, if it makes no sense, just do it. Ask me the question, just answer it. You know, you can shake your head after the fact, but you know, they want to see how well you follow these things and complete things based on what they're asking you. So just do that and you will be fine. But when it comes to the essay part of things, that's kind of your part of the process that you put yourself into on paper in your own words. And so it's really important how you showcase yourself, what you've done, what you hope to do. All of that stuff on paper. So I'd say, you know, putting your best foot forward and a lot of your time and attention into the statement of purpose is something that you can control. And so that's why we wanted to spend some time on that today.
Yeah, you're right, Aaron. So many of the vast majority of the forms, I'm looking at the list of forms here for Jamaica, the JET program application form, the self-report and medical conditions, statement of physician, certificate of health, criminal record, letters of reference, transcripts, teaching or language proficiency qualifications. A lot of those are just filling out a form or making a copy of an existing document. But as you said, the statement of purpose slash essay is kind of what you get to showcase yourself. Who are you? What have you done? What do you want to do? Why should we choose you on the JET program, to be a participant in the JET program? Are you a good fit for the program's purpose, etc.? So it's your opportunity to sell yourself, to showcase yourself, to create something that's not a copy or just filling out a form. So yeah, let's focus on that today. Is it the same set of documents for Canada?
It's pretty close. I think some of the things that are a little bit different between Jamaica and Canada that I noted was one of the things that we have to provide is a proof of Canadian citizenship. And then the other was, it's I think it's more or less the same. You had a official transcripts. Sometimes, based on when you're applying, and this maybe is the same for Jamaica as well, but if you're a university student in your last year of university and you expect to graduate before, like pretty much like a month or two before you plan to leave on the JET program, you usually have to provide like a proof of expected graduation. And then once you graduate, say that summer or spring, depending on your program, then as mm-hmm. soon as you get those transcripts and your degree, then you need to forward that to your consulate. So they kind of, it's kind of like a two-start process. But if you're already someone that's graduated university and you've been working a job, then of course you don't have to worry about that one. And then the other piece too, and maybe this is part of yours as well, is translation. So because Canada has Canada or French, or Canada or French, English or French, you can have documents written in both of those, and then you can have Japanese as well, so you can have things translated from into those languages, and those are acceptable. So
I see.
Generally the main key components are the same between the countries. So
yeah, I don't remember about the if you're about to graduate. I guess it depends. I feel like the JET program application process usually starts around when people are graduating or would have graduated in Jamaica, because we have like a September to July system. So if you are about to graduate, you would be graduating of that year. And if you're not graduating that year, it would be too late for you to get in to the JET program. But I could be wrong, but I don't recall that. But we only have English documents in Jamaica, so it's interesting. I'm guessing other countries, I don't know, South Africa or others may speak multiple languages might need to get translations and stuff. I don't think I know of any other majority English speaking countries. Maybe not, let's say Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Canada, America, Jamaica, South Africa, I guess.
Yeah, and I think
the bigger countries.
And I think because on the program page, it says the languages that they accept for the documents is English or Japanese. So mm-hmm. because French is a national language of Canada. So while you can have your documents written in French, and that's perfectly fine, because the program, I mean, for those that are reading are likely going to be Japanese, or their other primary secondary language will be English. Mm-hmm. While you can submit the French document, you do also have to take the extra step of translating that French document either yourself, or if you need help in likely people will just choose to translate that into English on their own. But they could translate it into Japanese as well. So that's kind of why that one has to be there, for especially for people, maybe not so much in Western Canada, because I think everyone's probably just default into English, mm-hmm. But not necessarily. But for Eastern Canada, especially those individuals whose native language that they speak daily would be French, they would have to, you know, they could write their essay, for example, in French, but then also have to translate it into English.
Yeah. All right, so we've cut through the forms. Let's get into the statement of a purpose. Do you have any recollection of your statement of purpose that you wrote? How many years ago was it now? Oh my Lord, we're old.
Yeah, we're old. I actually applied for the JET program twice, so I'm trying to remember. I think my copies of my statement of purpose are on my old hard drive out of mm-hmm. my old Mac, sitting in a box, in a shelf, in a closet, in a bunker somewhere. I don't know where it is. No, I don't have a bunker, but
mm-hmm. if you say yeah, so.
Well, do I? So I do. I'm definitely recalling like how I did the application and the essay specifically between the two times I applied. I understand fully why I never got on the program the first time. Mm-hmm. And I took those learnings from my failed attempt, that first application, and then took that with me and then applied a second time a couple years later. So just going over my first kind of understanding my misses from the application perspective, again, I followed everything to a T. I kind of had, I didn't have any problems with the application. I remember the one thing that I do remember is where it said, if you have any placement recommendations or requests. And up until that point, I had never been to Japan. So my knowledge and understanding was just basically what I learned in school and some of my classes, or from my friends or my own research. And at that particular moment of time, I was really into Initial D. So all of my placement requests were just various areas that were in Initial D because it's loosely based off like real life areas.
Yeah,
And
is
so
that Fukuoka area?
it was
No.
like Gunma and like Tochigi and like those places. And so I wrote those on there, and then when it I got an interview, and I thought, oh, likely this question's gonna come up. And so I tried to like find some reasons. I didn't want to go to the interview like, oh, Initial D is
Initial
the reason
D.
why. Like that's not gonna go over that well. Like there needs to be some deeper meaning, and I
He's gonna
couldn't
get traffic
find.
tickets in Japan for trying to be like Initial D.
And so I did some research on those areas, but I did get that. I did get asked that question in my interview, and I know I just didn't sell it very well. I wasn't very confident in my answer, and my answer was very like superficial and just on the surface, and there was no like passionate reason for me to go there. So I know that was a miss. And then my letter specifically, the first one I don't recall too much, but again, it wouldn't have been very directed towards having that firsthand experience of Japan. While I had experience with kids and working with kids, teaching them to an extent, in some volunteer activities, it was really hard to relay why Japan specifically, because I never had taken Japanese classes. I had very limited interaction with the Japanese culture directly outside of just going to restaurants and one of the student friends that I made at school. So it was really hard for me to relay that in an essay. So flash forward a couple years when I decided to apply again. In between those two applications, I had just moved to Japan on my own, did some volunteer work. So I had, and I got a lot of good experience. I got a better understanding of why I wanted to go back. Because the first time I failed getting on JET, I was like, well, I'm going to go to Japan anyways. Like I was hard set on going no matter what. I really wanted to learn. I wanted to understand more. I wanted to see if I wanted to even go back second or third or whatever that looked like to see if, applying for JET made sense in my future. And after that volunteer activity that I did for 6 months, I was like, yeah, I want to go to Japan. I understand why I want to go here. I have personal reason and like more dedication to the cause of wanting to spend more time here. And so I was able to take that learning of A, I put in the application where I wanted to return to, and I actually had like actual reason of I put Hokkaido, and why did I want to go to Hokkaido? Because that's the place that I moved to. And why did I move there? Because I had friends, I had connections, I got to understand the Hokkaido people a little bit better. I got to understand the weather and that I could live there, and it was similar to what I grew up in Canada. And so there was a lot more personal connection. And so I took that into the application as much as I could, but I took a lot of that into the essay and the volunteer experience that I had in Japan. And this is something that I would like to relate to everyone that if you're applying for the program, is that you're working with kids of all ages, depending on where you get placed. So I think it's really important to relay that you have a passion of working with kids or teenagers that you've actually have proven experience working with those age groups. So I volunteered with those age groups in Japan, but I also had a lot of volunteer experience because I'm not a teacher myself. I went and graduated in a business program. But outside of that, I worked with kids in local community groups, working with them every week, kind of being like a mentor of sorts. And so I really took, kind of like that volunteer experience. And then I took what I obtained in Japan. I even did some lesson planning and some volunteer teaching in Japan while I was there. And so that kind of helped me understand that, okay, I want to, JET program makes more sense for me now. I really enjoyed all of that experience. And I was able to put that into my resume, having actual firsthand experience being in Japan and showing that, yeah, I applied for the JET program the first time. And rather than just, you know, saying, walking away from it, being like, yeah, okay, fine, I tried it once. But I showed them by, even though I didn't get to go on the program, I still went to Japan. I was really dedicated to learning more about myself and about the culture. And like I said, took all of that and then also some work experience in Canada and put that in my essay. And I think when I went to that interview the second time, it was clearly evident of how much work and dedication I put into wanting to make my second attempt at the JET program application a lot more, just putting myself on a better platform to hopefully get a job and showcase why I wanted to be there and why I wanted a job on the program. So that was kind of what I remember. Again, I don't exactly remember what I wrote, but the main things was just showcasing the volunteer experience, my homestay experience, my living there experience, and being vulnerable that when I first moved there on my own, it was hard. But I got through it, right? And by the end, I was happy. And then I was all sad to leave and I wanted to return. And then the second piece, just to relay, would be the previous history and teaching with kids of various ages. And then the last thing is also wanting to remind people about where they want to take the JET experience once they're done. And I know it's hard to think about what JET will mean to you after it's done and you return home or you return to a different country, or even if you stay in Japan. But I know the program really likes to see people think about that and not just the immediate now or the next year of what it would be like to be on the program, but to think further ahead than that and to think forward about what do you think the JET program will mean to you when it's done? And it's hard to know because the JET program is going to do whatever it does to you while you're on it. And so it's who's to say what that's going to mean, but I guess your hopes and desires of what you'll take out of the JET program and what you can give back to the JET program, or even what you can give back to your local community or the Japanese community or wherever you find yourself settling, is how you'll take, or how you think you might take that experience and give back. And that might be, you know, volunteering again or participating in JET alumni activities or whatever that might be. But I know some of those things are, they just like to hear and see that you're thinking forward about the future that far in advance. And you don't have to have a clear answer, but it's also, it's kind of good to know that you think the JET program will be important enough to you that it's going to have a ripple effect in your future. And it's not just a one and done job opportunity or whatever. And then once it's done, you kind of just walk away from it. You don't return to it again. So that's kind of like the last little point that I'd like to mention, is just, you know, life after JET is really important for the JET program and when you're applying for it. So that's kind of what I remember in a nutshell about my second application and my second essay that I wrote.
Yeah. What about? It's interesting how you mentioned that it was your second time applying, because quite a few people that I know who are eventually successful on the JET program had to apply multiple times. You know, like I was, I don't know, lucky are fortunate, I don't know which one, to apply only once. But like a lot of my closer friends and people who are, I see people I know now, even on the JIT program to this day, have been second, third, fourth time applicants. I feel like if you don't get through, as it's obvious I'm about to say, if you don't get through the first time, like Aaron didn't, it's always good to kind of not just take it as okay, maybe it's not for me, but like as again, it's very competitive, very strict. I know it's super competitive in Jamaica, but just reevaluate your application, see where you can improve, get better references, redo your statement of purpose, which we're focusing on from the beginning, and take the points that Aaron mentioned. It's not about what I say right now and what you want to achieve on the JET program. It's not a selfish undertaking where, yeah, I just want to go to enjoy Japan, or I like anime and stuff. Like, I know you've probably heard this already, but like one of the biggest red flags during that writing in that statement of purpose or in that interview to be all, oh my God, I'm into anime, let's go, I want to catch Pokemon, and there's a time and place, and it's okay if you like those things. I liked those things, I still do, but this is a professional interview, and absolutely nothing related to, well, let me not say absolutely nothing, but the vast majority of things that you will learn in anime or Pokemon or whatever is not applicable to teaching elementary, junior high school, and high school age kids in Japan. Maybe it can be a conversation piece, but for the most part, are you passionate about educating children? Are you interested, as Aaron said, in continuing that relationship with Japan, even if you leave Japan? What else are you looking to learn or teach or expand upon yourself? Yes, it's about teaching, but I always like to pay attention to the exchange in the JET program word. It's not just about teaching, it's also about exchanging your culture, teaching these things. What kind of skills do you have? One of the biggest hits during my time on the JET program was this kind of like a box truck made from say juice carton boxes that kids, I don't know if kids in Jamaica make those anymore, but back in my time in the 80s and 90s when I was a young pup okay, I'll stop. We made toys out of like recycled things, because that was just what we did. And I just kind of had that class with my junior high school third graders as kind of like my final class before they graduate. And it was a huge hit. And I swear I've done that workshop type thingy in high schools, in junior high schools, in kindergartens, at community centers. My internship during my time at Hiroshima University last year, I did it with some kids in Kyoto. Because it's all about recycling, it's all about arts and crafts, it's all about learning about a different culture, a different country, and it's like all of those things combined together make it interesting. So think of it like that when you are applying for the JET program, this statement of purpose. Are you just looking to receive something? Are you just Is it just a job? Like, are you Do you really not like Japan, but you're just unemployed and you want a job? Like these things are not good. So yeah.
If you don't mind jumping in, like, yeah, you bring up a good point with the exchange. It's not just what you will get. Like, if you can relay, of course, it's going to be about you in a sense as well, right? Like, you're going to obtain some new skills, you're going to get a job, you're going to do this, but like Kirk had mentioned, it's also about you giving. What do you want to give the people in your town or city while you're there? Like Kirk had mentioned, like the recycling activity, cultural activity, or what would you like to give back? So it's nice to try to showcase some of those things about what you can provide to your community or what you hope to provide, because the exchange is probably, some may argue, it's even more important than the teaching piece, because
I would definitely argue that.
Yeah, there we go. So it's probably, from our end, it's probably more important because those are the pieces that people are likely going to remember. Those are the things that are going to stick with people as they get older, and they'll look back to their time with you and be like, if I did this again. Cool.
Yeah, it's like, just as you're about to say or saying now, it's like, again, we are experienced past jets. It's not, I don't know, learning past tense in English class on a Tuesday when it's raining. That they're going to be like, oh, I remember that time Aaron Sensei taught me how to say, I don't know, stop in past tense. No, it's going to be that time that you and Aaron Sensei were reading in the library at Christmas when Aaron was obviously dressed up as Santa Claus and giving out gifts to the kids, or that time we went on that field trip to the countryside and, you know, Aaron Sensei collected different color shells. You know what I mean? It's those type of exchanges, in my experience, have been most relevant. And again, you'll be a teacher in air quotes, and I don't know, many jets will probably clobber me over the head for saying this, but technically you're not like the strict, like, yes, you're teaching and you're imparting information, but you're always going to be in the classroom with another Japanese person who is going to be doing most of the teaching, and then you'll assist. But where you can truly shine as an individual and enlighten and expand on the exchange part of things is what's interesting about you, and what do you bring to the table? What do you do with the kids when you have time with them? Mm-hmm. And also remember that the vast majority of jets are going to be in the countryside, rural areas where you're also interacting with the community, you know, the parents of those children. You're going to be having to go to the town hall or city hall and, you know, participate in festivals. And, you know, like, I feel like, I don't know, more than 50% of your work is outside of the school in the community. Mm-hmm. I know my time in Shimane was like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, you go to the junior high school or whatever school every day, but like, you're going to have so many other non-air quotes teaching related activities that it's important to have a interesting personality. They don't want people that just going to come on the JET program just for teaching, and then, you know, like, they're shut off from the community and the people that they're supposed to be interacting with. And it's difficult at times to be always out there and doing things, but a part of the job is that, you know what I mean? You can, they definitely don't want people who are gonna be just like shut off and unapproachable and stuff like that. And that should come out in your statement of purpose, to let them see that, hey, I am interested in this type of thing, or I want to learn more about origami or sushi, or I have skills as a, what do you call it, a performer. I studied theater in college, so maybe I can incorporate that in the classroom or in my presentations. And, you know, I've studied Japanese at this place, or I visited Japan. You know, these types of things shows that you are an engaging, open-minded, interesting person, and then you apply that to the role that you will be doing on the Japan exchange and teaching program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For a moment there, I thought you were using that example of going to theater at school was like you specifically. I was like, I was gonna say, did you take theater at school? I did not know this, but I then realized it was just an example.
Yeah, just showing out what your capabilities are and how you can make things interesting. But my statement of purpose, I actually still have it, unlike my co-host.
Look at you.
In his bunker. And rereading it is so freaking, like, I don't know, embarrassing. I'm having like creepy crawlies just looking at it on my second screen while recording this. But while you were talking, I was also scanning it. And it's just as you said. I applied and got through on the first try, but I had built up a relationship with the Japanese community and the Japanese embassy for many, many years, even before applying. So my advice, which is similar but a little bit different from Aaron's, is, you know, participate in activities related to the Japanese embassy or any type of activity happening in your city, in your community, that the Japanese embassy or stuff would be doing. So they had like a what do you call it? What's the call? Oh my God, I forget now. The plants, the super miniaturized the plants, bonsai.
Oh, bonsai, yeah.
Yes. So they had like a bonsai exhibition every year in Kingston, and they had like a calendar exhibition where in January you could get cool Japanese calendars, and they had like different events throughout the year at different schools and different activities, and I just showed up to all of them to the point where I was on like a well, I was known by some of the staff and just kind of be able to help out where I could. I studied a
Oh,
little
that's
bit
cool.
of Japanese with a very senior figure in the Japanese community in Jamaica, and that also helped to show that you're taking an effort. You don't have to know Japanese. No one is expecting you to study Japanese for 6 months and be fluent. But to say in your statement of purpose that I was genuinely interested in this program and I have started studying Japanese for the last 6 months or whatever, that shows that when you're in Japan again, you're not gonna shut yourself off and you're gonna be like, oh, I'm not here for very long. I don't need to learn this Japanese thing. So yeah, my purpose for learning Japanese, full disclosure, is because I play video games and I was wondering what Ryu and Ken and all those bastards were saying when we were playing. So that was my initial interest.
Are you saying that you wasn't saying, are you Ken?
Exactly. So I was like, I wouldn't be telling those people that in the statement of purpose or in the interview. But in my heart, I was like, what are these people saying? What do you mean, Hadouken? And it's like, what? And I'm
That's
watching
awesome.
anime. I'm into Dragon Ball and Full Metal Alchemist. I was a proper otaku back in the day. But again, it's professional. You have to know what you're doing. So I told them, I studied Japanese a little bit. I know hiragana, katakana. I show up at these different things. I have an interest. I visited Japan. Again, you don't have to do this, but I'm just sharing my story. I just saved my money for 2 years and I went to Japan all by my lonesome. And I really had a good time. And, like being able to share that in my statement of purpose about my experience and how cool it was and why I want to learn more and how my I have no experience as a teacher, by the way. Before coming to Japan, I was into IT, so I felt like a bit disadvantaged and a bit discouraged because, like most of the people that I know that get in on the JET program from Jamaica are trained, professional, experienced teachers. But if that was the case for all applicants, then I wouldn't have been able to get through. But I got in because, all of these things I've explained well in my statement of purpose and showed, and it proves that they're not looking just for teachers. They're looking for interesting individuals to bring, have to, to make the program a good experience for the kids. And I am very biased towards the very rural placements. I know some people hate them. Everyone wants to be in Osaka, Tokyo, Nagoya, etc. But some of the best experiences are gonna be in the Shimanes and the Tottori and the Ehimes and
Hokkaido.
these, the Hokkaidos and these places where you're like teaching at a school with very few kids, but everyone's name and you live in the same community as them, and then the first 6 months to a year, probably we can have an episode on that later in the summer when the new jets are arriving. But the first 6 months, 9 months at least, is a bit difficult, the adjustment period, etc. But after that, once you've warmed up to the people and you're actually a good jet candidate, it will be one of the most amazing experiences of your lives. But yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. So
Yeah,
yeah,
most of
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say most life change, one of your most what was I gonna say? Most significant, one of the most significant life changes that, I mean, I guess I've had in my life for sure, that like those moments in Japan, teaching, just being on the program, definitely set myself on a trajectory that I'm happy that I got myself on. And so I think kind of going back to when you said, yeah, not everyone gets it on their first try, and that it takes multiple tries for people to get on the program. If it's really important and you think, you know, this is where you want to be, then just keep doing things that you think will improve your ability, whether that's, you know, learning a little bit more Japanese or getting a little bit more, you know, volunteer experience working with kids, or, you know, doing, you know, going to Japan to get some firsthand experience, or if you don't have that option, going to the consulate or going to any type of Japanese kind of event and kind of putting your foot out there. Or, and if you don't have that available, then go to a different cultural association, and just, it's just showing that you're really, that's, that stuff is really important for you, and just find those ways, keep improving, get good work experience, just keep on trying. And then, yeah, it might take two or three or four chances, but all of those tries will lead up to a huge win or a huge change when you look back at it and go, you know, as each try might just seem like a small little change and it's not adding up to much. But when you look back at all of those tries in aggregation, you'll be like, wow, I really improved, or I made great strides here. And this is why, you know, this year will be, you know, the difference or whatever. So, you know, really encourage everyone to keep trying, even though you might try this year or you might try next year and it's just not happening. If it's really important to you, just, I really encourage you to keep going and finding different avenues and things to really put yourself in the next best spot to get yourself in with a job in the program, if that's something that you're really desiring. So never stop. Keep working hard, and that will show in your essay, because those essays, I can tell you, are, as someone that's helped and volunteered with some of the interview pieces and actually done interviews, those essays really give a good indication when you're, before you meet somebody, those are, I mean, at least for me, that's what I was reading and really honing in on. The application, I wasn't spending a lot of time on, because like we had alluded to, it's just a lot of forms, fields that you fill in. You don't really get to see how an individual is. I would say I looked at their volunteer and work experience just to see kind of in what realms they were working in. But really it was, you don't really get to see how someone kind of comes to life until you get to their statement of purpose. So that's where I spent a lot of my focus. And then of course, when you see them in the interview, then you get to, you know, another aspect of that individual. But first impressions are really key, but until you get to see someone, those essays are so critical. And so don't rush those essays, spend a lot of time on them, work on yourself throughout the year, put yourself in great positions, and take advantage of activities and volunteer opportunities around your area and places to learn and grow, and put that on the paper and show them where you were, show them where you are now, and show them where you want to go in the future. That will come out just as it needs to. And those interviewers and those reviewers will see that and they'll give you a shot. So yeah, keep trying, keep working at it.
Aaron, the motivational speaker, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my Lord. I feel like I want to apply for the JET program right now after listening to this guy. Oh, my Lord.
Just do it.
They'd be like, dude, you've done it already. Good. Go away.
You did 6, 7. You did way too many years. You're not a boss.
But yeah, that's some good advice. I hope this episode has been helpful to anyone who is considering applying. I know it's been released in January, and I know like interviews and stuff are going on now. We're sorry again for this episode coming out a bit late, but we want to continue doing JET program related episodes. We're thinking of doing one around early summer, so we can help those who might be arriving in Japan and needing kind of advice and help to settle down in Japan, to endure those first few months where the first couple weeks you're like on a high, and then you kind of have that crash. We want to talk about that kind of roller coaster experience for the first 6 to 9 months on JET. But if you guys have any questions, remember we have our voicemail at voicemail.bonbonshow.com to send us a voicemail. You can also message us. What's the email address again, Aaron?
Hello at bonbonshow.com.
Yeah, hello at bonbonshow.com to send us an email if you have any questions or anything. If you send us a voice note, we can replay your message or question on the podcast, and we will definitely be replying to your emails. And yeah, this has been episode 16 of the Bonbon Show. Take us out, Aaron.
Yes, thanks everyone for listening, and I wish you all the best for those that will listen and stumble upon this in the future. All the best to you on your JET application and your journey. And for those listening in the year 2026, in January, Happy New Year. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Matane.
Bye-bye.